Okay, Romans chapter 2 talks about the conscience, verse 15, which show in their the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, that their thoughts meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Here's the conscience. Their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And man has been given this great thing called the conscience. And the conscience is God's inward witness to right and wrong, which when it is quickened by the Holy Spirit, informed by the word, the truth of the word of God, and through which the Holy Spirit ministers to the heart of men. That's an important thing, the conscience. And you know, we've talked about how important the conscience is. And we're going to look at some different phrases that talk about the conscience and try to elaborate on those particular ones. So we're going to first of all talk about, well, the conscience itself is a part of being man, being created in the image and likeness of God. Man is a moral, spiritual, rational being. And man is moral. There is a right and then there is a wrong. And man is created with a right and a wrong. And that is found in a part of the of a person that has never been delineated where the conscience is. But it's there. And it's a spiritual. It's a proof that God is alive. It's a proof that every man is a soul. It's a proof that there that we will give account to God. Our conscience, we have to give account to our conscience. And that is the proof in everybody's life that they will give account to the living God of right and wrong. There is a judgment day. The conscience is God's witness to the fact there will be a judgment day. Now, we're going to look at a few phrases in the Bible that I think are important for people to know about. 1 Corinthians 8. We want to talk about a weak conscience. A weak conscience. The Bible talks about a weak conscience. And it's talking about a person with a weak conscience is seeing someone eat some meat offered to an idol. And the Bible says that this person with a weak conscience will be negatively affected by that act. Now, let's talk about a weak conscience. Now, think about it, a weak conscience. Now, the new evangelicals say that we have a weak conscience. And so when they come to our house, they won't drink alcohol because we have a weak conscience. They don't want to offend us. Or they won't wear their slacks or their capris, maybe, because we got a weak conscience. No, they've twisted the Bible completely out of wacko. What is a weak conscience? Well, obviously, a weak conscience is a weak conscience. It's not very strong. Doesn't have a very strong signal. Has a weak signal. You don't understand what I'm saying? It's got a weak signal. And a person with a weak signal is easily influenced by the behavior of others. So a person with a weak conscience, when they see someone doing something that is wrong, well, because they have a weak conscience, now they're emboldened to do that which is wrong. Because their weak conscience has just been made weaker. And that conscience that has this real weak signal that says, don't do it. Well, they saw somebody do that. Oh, must be okay. Must be okay. And there's a lot of people with a weak conscience. Their conscience doesn't go, burp, burp, goes, duh, duh, duh. But a person has a strong conscience, you know, they just get within 5 miles of sin and go, hey, don't go any further. Person with a weak conscience says, ah, no problem. They don't even hear their conscience. And so we have the duty of a loving and godly Christian to be a good example to babes in the Lord and to young Christians or Christians with a weak conscience. Now, if you have a heart of a pastor and you care about people, you aren't going to do something that would give them an excuse to do wrong. You aren't going to condone something just because you want to do it without thinking about what effect it will have on other people. And so the Bible talks about the duty of the believer towards a person with a weak conscience, has a weak signal. And you have to, and so Paul says, don't eat meat offered to an idol. Now you know that idol is just a piece of stone. It just came out of a, you know, they just mined it. Nothing to it. It's not even real. I mean, it's just a piece of stone. Or it was a piece of wood, then put some gold on it. I mean, it isn't even real. But don't eat any meat offered to that, because someone with a weak conscience will think, oh, idolatry is okay. And idolatry isn't okay. So it talks about the weak conscience. I kind of invented this word. I call it the sprinkled conscience. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, what's the figure? The figure goes back to the hyssop and the red heifer in the Old Testament. I think it's Leviticus 17. And it's talking about application of the death of Christ to a person's soul. And it talks about that they would take that person was defiled and by a dead body, and they would now part of their cleansing, they would take the ashes of that heifer that was burnt and sacrificed sometime in that previous year, and they'd mix it with water, and then they'd take the hyssop and they'd ceremonially sprinkle it on the person, which is a picture of the application of the death of that heifer to their sin. And you know, here it is. You know, when your conscience is cleansed, that's wonderful. You know, when you take care of your conscience, it doesn't bother you anymore. Ha! Isn't that amazing? When you confess it and get it right, it's gone. It's gone. But until then, there's that little nagging voice. And anytime you get quiet with God, it's going, and you don't have peace. You don't have peace. There's that thing that you never got right with your parents. There's that thing that you stole from the store that you never gave it back or paid for it. There's that test you cheated on and you never got it right. And when you have that quiet time and the Holy Spirit works in your conscience and but you get it right. You go to the teacher or you go to the store or whatever, and you go to your parents and you get that right and you confess it. And guess what? It's gone. It's been cleansed. It's been sprinkled with the blood of Christ. That's the difference between peace and no peace. A lot of Christians never have peace because they never get it right. And you know, just as an application of that, to BSM had some great preaching, they had some revival. You know what? Some people got their conscience sprinkled. They're right with God. They're free. They're free. And you know, that usually doesn't happen. Very seldom does that happen when people just come for a 20-minute sermon and don't even listen. Don't even listen. They come to church to get out. But you're in a place where you hear preaching for hours and hours and hours, and you finally surrender to the Lord. Get it right with God. That thing you wouldn't take care of for forever, now you take care of it. A sprinkled conscience. Oh, what a wonderful thing. David called it a free spirit in Psalm 51. Now let's go to that. We'll take that phrase there. And an evil conscience. We have the sprinkled conscience. We have an evil conscience. Now, I think there's more than one application here. But I tried to delineate between an evil conscience and a good conscience. An evil conscience versus a good conscience. And then we have a defiled conscience. I don't know if we're going to get there or not, but did you ever hear of a false peace? You know, the Bible says in the last days, men will call that which is good evil, and they'll call that which is evil good. Now that's an evil conscience. When your conscience calls that which is good evil, and when they call that which is evil good. And guess what? That's the day we're living. That's the kind of, I mean, the fact is, how could you be a pro-abortionist? How can you be a pro-gay marriage? If you're genuinely that, you have to have an evil conscience. We have a whole political spectrum of people whose conscience is evil. And they would call people like us terrorists. That's an evil conscience. And you know, Christians can have an evil conscience. And they call that which is good, evil. And they call that which is evil, good. You know, rock, Christian, that's not possible. Religious rock musicians. You know, you can't call them Christian because they can't call, you couldn't call murder. There's no such thing as Christian murder, is there? No, so it can't be Christian rock music. It has to be religious rock music. It's evil. But, you know, do you think their conscience bothers them? They're deceived. False. It's a false piece of an evil conscience. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy 1:19. Let's talk about a good conscience. 1 Timothy 1:19. I mean, we talked about this before, but again, an evil conscience. What's a good conscience? Holding faith and a good conscience. Well, it is a conscience that is rightly informed. It's a conscience informed by the Word of God. You know, if your conscience isn't informed by the Word of God, it's going to be misinformed. And that's not good. That's not good. But there's a lot of people who have consciences that are good in their relative situation, in the fact that they operate well. They operate well. When they do something wrong, it goes, nah. When they think about doing something wrong, it goes, nah. And when they do something wrong, it goes, nah, 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 and doesn't let up. You know, it's like that smoke detector. It won't let up. It won't let up till it gets silenced. I mean, that's a good conscience. It's operating. A good conscience. A person who has followed their conscience as in the habit of listening and obeying the Holy Spirit and God's commands in the Bible. That's a good conscience. And you need to study that because that is the... anybody who is going to serve the Lord has to have a good conscience. Anybody who's going to be faithful to God is going to have a good conscience. And we aren't going to preach that sermon again, but that's the biggest problem we have today. You see, when you're raised in a fundamental church and you're taught the truth, and then you turn from it, you don't have a good conscience anymore. And the Bible says you're ready to make shipwreck concerning the faith. But people who have never taught, been taught right, they have a great chance because they haven't gone against their conscience. And because they haven't gone against their conscience, now they're still free game to grow in the Lord and to be what God wants them to be. They didn't turn their back on God. That's what Hebrews is all about, folks. The spirit of Hebrews is people who knew the truth and turned their back on it. That's the spirit of Hebrews. And Hebrews has all those serious warnings, doesn't it? Six serious warnings about people who knew the truth and turned their back on it. Now let's talk about, obviously, a seared conscience. And that is close. 1 Timothy 4:2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay, well, we talked about this too. It's a conscience that is deadened. By doing that which they were at one time convicted about and have denied or gone against the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the conscience to the point that now doing wrong doesn't bother them. Doing wrong doesn't bother them. I remember this one Bible college, not in existence anymore. It used to be in Pembine, Wisconsin. And I heard about young ladies that went all through their life always wearing proper ladies' apparel, never wore a pair of trousers. Going to Northland, hearing Les Olala mock distinctive dress, and coming home with a pair of trousers on without blinking their eyes. That is a seared conscience. That is a seared conscience. And the Bible says that is the conscience of the apostates. That's the conscience of the apostates. A seared conscience. There's a man by the name of Father Chiniqui. He was a Catholic priest in the 1860s. Illinois. And God's Spirit began to speak to him about the wickedness of the confessional booth. And the questions they would ask to prime the pump of people coming to the confessional. Father Chiniqui was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And he realized that he was a wicked sinner. And he got saved. He got saved. In fact, he got saved and he went back to his church where he was the priest. And almost all the people got saved. Wow. Pope was mad. But all these people got saved. But Father Chiniqui would talk about the fact that he had conversations with other priests about how bad the stuff is that they did in the confessional booth. But these men wouldn't repent. They wouldn't repent. And the Bible talks about those speaking lies and hypocrisy, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Oh, what is it saying? It's saying for a religion to say when the Bible says the pastor should be the husband of one wife, that the so-called preacher should not be married. It's against God's law. The Bible says that's the doctrine of the devil. And we can go on, you know, forbidding to eat meat. I mean, that doesn't take too many people to figure that one out. But it's because they could preach these things because their conscience has been seared. Seared. It doesn't bother them. Used to bother them. They saw the inconsistency, but they overcame it. Now it doesn't bother them anymore. And that can be applied to a lot of things, can't it? You know, some young people, they will lie. And you know what? It doesn't seem to bother them. Doesn't bother them. They'll do the same thing over and over, and you confront them. Doesn't bother them. The alarm doesn't go off. You know why? The conscience has been seared. They said no so many times to their conscience. Doesn't bother them anymore. Boy, that's a pretty dangerous place to be in. And then the last one, the pure conscience, 1 Timothy 1:13. No, 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 1:13. It says, hold fast the form of sound words. Hey, I have the wrong verse. What's the... let's see. We better get to the right verse here. Yeah, that's the verse I wrote down, but that's not the right verse. Pardon me? 1 Timothy 3:10. Yeah, that's probably the right one. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:10. 9. Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Now, this is talking about a deacon. Deacon is supposed to hold the mystery of the faith. What's the mystery of the faith? The beliefs of this book. The beliefs of this book. How are the beliefs of this book to be held? What keeps a person from changing? What keeps a person from losing their convictions? The Bible says, you know what the key is? Pure conscience. You know what a pure conscience is? It's the opposite of a defiled conscience. You know what a defiled conscience is? A defiled conscience is a conscience that's been messed up by sin. For Titus chapter 1, and I think it's verse 15. A conscience that's been defiled by sin. Okay, let me explain that to you. Okay? And this is extreme. Okay, but this is from a book I read 30 years ago. Christensen on the Christian Family. And his wife is at school dropping off their son. And this is in the day of miniskirts, and there's still the day of miniskirts. And here's all the boys lined up on both sides of the steps going up to the high school. Now, that's in the old days when they had steps leading up to the high school door. And I had that kind of high school. And here comes this girl. You know, the skirt is so short. It's beyond embarrassing. And she's walking up the steps. And the mom looks over there. And not one of those guys even blink an eye at her. And mom says to her son that night, son, I mean, I didn't even see one of those guys look. And it was mighty short. And he said, Mom, they've seen so much worse than that. That's nothing. Defiled. You know, when you see that thing on TV that you shouldn't see, guess what? It does something to you. It does something to you. It has an effect on your mind. More than that, it has an effect on your conscience. And your conscience isn't going to work very good from now on. You don't have a pure conscience anymore. And guess what? Like the other verse said, your beliefs are going to start changing. Because you've allowed things into your life that were wrong. And you thought you could just say, oh, that was... yeah, that was wrong, but, you know, no big deal. It's over with. Wait a minute. You put it into your soul. Movies, TV, internet. Walking in the wrong crowd. It defiles a person's conscience. And a defiled conscience doesn't hold the faith very well. Isn't that where we're at today? Isn't that where we're at today? That's why people are changing. That's why people, instead of getting stronger in their convictions, they're losing their convictions. Because they thought they could play with their conscience and not have an effect on their life. Doesn't work that way. That's why it, of course, in this context is saying why it is so essentially important that pastor, but even a deacon, is so very godly. And they remove their steps far from her. That's the only way that you are going to have the faith maintained. And that goes on an individual level too. And that's why so many men don't have strong standards for their family. Because they've defiled their own conscience. They've lost the ability to lead their family. This is a very sad reality. The conscience, God has given it to us. It's there. It's real. It's in you. No matter what you do, you can't get rid of your conscience. Even when it's not operating correctly, it's still there. A law of right and wrong. Old book, Competent to Counsel by J. Adams. He's reformed theology. He's messed up in a lot of areas. But his whole book is all about the fact that much of mental illness is a result of people having a bad conscience, going against their conscience. And they thought they could go against their conscience and keep on going. But eventually, it catches up. It catches up. Because the conscience is real. It's real. Even though you can't see it, even though you can try to suppress it, even though you can sear it, even though you can find some preacher that tells you that something is okay, that's really wrong, the conscience still works to some degree and will catch up with people. And thank God, isn't it great that Jesus' blood can cleanse our conscience? That's the only thing. Ha! Isn't that wonderful? And you know, isn't that, I mean, that's just miraculous. Here's this person, they got all this sin in their life and it's just ruining their life. And you know what? You know, that's exactly how they feel. and they get saved. And, whoa, it's like they're a new person. They are. They got their heart cleansed. They got their conscience clean. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. And Jesus Christ is the answer to all humanity. And this book tells us about the rules of a good conscience. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that allows us to get our conscience clean and to keep our conscience clean. Amen? And you know, every one of us need to be more sensitive to our conscience. We need to be careful about our conscience, no matter who you are. We need to be careful about our conscience. It's a guard that God has given us that the Holy Spirit uses. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the great truths of the word of God tonight. And Lord, we pray that you will take the truth of your word. And I pray that we'll leave this place with a greater fear of the Lord. We'll leave this place, Lord, with a sense that keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I pray for those, Lord, who have gone against their conscience and are now doing things and okaying things that are wrong. They found somebody who said it was okay. That doesn't make it right. And Lord, they're in a dangerous spot. Would you rescue them, Lord? Would you rescue them in your mercy? Work in all our hearts. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you need to have a little time with the Lord. And somehow the Holy Spirit helped you see that the things which you're now allowing, which you used to call wrong, are probably having a huge effect upon your soul. Your conscience doesn't scream anymore. It's a serious thing. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, as a young person, you'd have to say, boy, my conscience doesn't bother me much at all. Boy, that'd be a pretty big warning that something's wrong. God is speaking to your heart. Would you do some business with God? Say, Pastor, pray for me. God has dealt with me tonight. And I am making a big decision for God tonight. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to put those hands down. Amen. Lord, thank you for your miraculous intervention. Now bring it to pass, Lord. Give humility and courage and power, Lord, to fulfill that need to be, Lord, what you need them to be, to have the blood applied. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.